From KCRW, this is DNA, Design and Architecture. I'm Frances Anderton. Coachella, or as it's more formally known, the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival, is back for its 20th year. And as you know from Instagram, the desert bacchanal is no longer defined only by its music.
I mean, ultimately, the power of Coachella is two things.
This is artist Philip K. Smith.
I think one is to be able to implement a project at an impressive scale. And secondly, I don't know anywhere else in the world where you can have 250,000 people see your work over the course of 6 days.
Creating an installation at Coachella has become a coveted commission for artists and designers, and the festival is bringing in top talent who aim to create more than just a backdrop for selfies.
I was inspired by the tree to create a place for gathering at Coachella. And at night, the trunks will serve as a beacon of light, you know? You will see them, and it's about celebration.
This is architect Francis Kere. You'll hear from him and some of the other artists and designers on today's DNA. We also caught up with the guy who has the job of picking the designers and making sure their structures get built to handle the crowds.
Hi, I'm Rafi Lair, Associate Art Director at Golden Voice. I travel the world looking for artists, architects, and designers to bring out to Coachella and create large-scale installations.
So what will people see this year?
This year we have Sarbala K with Francis Kere, and we have the Hazardous Interplanetary Professional Operations with Dedo Vabo. We have Spectra with New Substance back for its second year, and Colossal Cacti by Office Kovacs, another Los Angeles-based architecture studio. And we also have Mismo by Sofia Enriquez, who's from the Coachella Valley, who's only 25, has a long, amazing career ahead of her. You know, we're not restricting ourselves to working with a specific type of artist, nor are we restricting ourselves to a theme.
They're big, they're bright, you can see them from a distance. Are those some of the characteristics that are kind of essential to a Coachella installation?
Yeah, I think it needs to create a great shot, look beautiful, grab someone's attention, and have multiple depths. You know, that your typical festival goer who's maybe not gone to a museum ever or doesn't go regularly can get something out of it.
That was Rafi Lera. You're listening to DNA. The installations at Coachella serve as gathering spots and landmarks in a pop-up mini-city in what is usually a vast, flat field. And where older cities might have a tall beacon like a clock tower, say, well, at Coachella you will find Spectra. This is a 7-story transparent cylinder made up of over 300 windows of more than 30 different colours. You climb a ramp that circles round and round to the top, taking in a view across the festival grounds and beyond to the mountains all around. At night, Spectra becomes a gorgeous big lantern with dark silhouettes of people moving through. This is one of the few installations that is back for a second year. Its designer is Patrick Omani. He's creative director for a design company called New Substance, based in Leeds in the UK. And we talked to him inside Spectra's core. It's a no-frills space where you are right inside the steel skeleton of the tower.
It's a big, colourful piece that changes from day to night. And when we came out here initially, when we were starting to design for the festival, we were captivated by the amazing sunrise and sunset, but it seems a very, very distant concept. The sunrise is always behind the mountain, it's always in the distance. And what we wanted to do was allow people to walk through that sunset and sunrise. So we cast all the colours, and when you're within the structure, you're washed with those kind of colours during the day.
And this is Coachella's 20th year. It seems that one of the big changes among many that have taken place at Coachella is in the lighting. It seems every stage is so amped up with its lighting displays, and your piece is essentially, at least at night, a lantern.
It was very much, we wanted to, especially when we got placed where we did on the site, I think that we find ourselves almost at the very heart of the festival. I kind of find all the stages are very, very busy, and huge amounts of light going off of them in different directions, we are more of a kind of solid beacon in that sense. And it's a word that comes up a lot now, the word beacon and the concept of kind of pulling people in that sense.
That's Patrick Omani, creator of Spectra. You're listening to DNA, I'm Frances Anderton. Coachella started 20 years ago as a low-key and fairly chaotic rave in a field, primarily attended by Southern Californians. Over the years, it's grown into a global juggernaut. So where does that leave the locals? Well, for one young artist named Sofia Enriquez, Coachella has been her personal beacon. And this year, she has an installation in the main field. It's called Mismo, which means same in Spanish. And when we met her there, she was wearing one of her own creations, a kind of loose garment that she calls a shirt cape that's adorned with her own paintings.
So I made basically these giant sculptures of six three-dimensional, like 3D murals, and they're giant paisleys that we crafted out of wood and painted on them, and they have multiple layers of like wooden faces, smaller paisleys that they range from different sizes.
You sort of came across paisley and the different way it was used when you were a child through, I think, working with your mom. Is that right?
Yeah. So my mom has a lot of paisley. We used to clean houses all over here in the desert, and I would see paisleys in like upholstery fabrics and like really fancy, you know, silk ties and stuff like that. But I also noticed it in different places, like my grandma's kitchen. She would embroider paisleys on like small napkins that she would warm tortillas and stuff like that. So it was really cool to find this icon in different parts of people's homes. Yeah. I named it Mismo because I wanted to find some sort of like iconic, you know, like symbol that people wear of like all genders and all cultures tend to wear this like paisley pattern in like different ways. So I wanted to find something that kind of like unifies people and fashion. Everyone uses clothing. So I wanted to find something that, you know, can relate to everybody and kind of just highlight on the equality and feminism in that.
And that's also because of the meaning of the word Mismo, which is...
Mismo means the same. So the same meaning, we're all the same.
And this is your first outing in the, I guess, the main field at Coachella Festival. How does it feel to have people come and just inhabit your artwork?
It feels really surreal. It feels like something that I've been wanting for a long time, and I wasn't sure if I was ever going to really get to a place like that. I'm like maybe when I'm like 40, I'll be able to get to a level like that. But like to have that right now it feels like a dream.
So it is really interesting how you got from your childhood to having your piece at Coachella now. Just take us on your Coachella Festival journey.
Okay. So I started going to Coachella when I was 16. I bought a ticket from a friend off of MySpace. And I just went. I found like my first reaction was like, I have to dress up and like do something really fun. And I went. I partied. I got to see all these really amazing bands. And since then, I started going every year. So I've been going for the past 10 years. This is my 10th year coming. And to tell my 16-year-old self, like, hey, you're going to have a piece at Coachella, like, she would be like, nah. You know what I mean? Like, because I was always really, like, into art and stuff, but, like, I never would have imagined to be at this level.
But you kind of worked your way into this place. What did you do?
Yeah, I had been coming to Coachella for 5 years and camping. And then I found this place called the Coachella Art Studios and camping. And I was just, I pretty much just found my way of contributing to like the festival experience. I started painting murals and helping out like painting walls, painting floors, kind of making the place where people make arts and crafts for free like a little bit more, you know, like interactive and just be drenched in art. And that was kind of my way of like finding my niche and like trying to see what I was really into, you know, like because I was given an opportunity like, hey, you want to work? Do whatever you want. So I started doing that and like, you know, after doing that for a while, I approached the head of the art department, and I was like, hey, like, can I work with you guys? And they were like, sure, let's talk, let's do it. And so I ended up getting a job with the art department, and then a few days later, after my first day at work, they asked me, like, hey, do you want to make a piece for Coachella? And I was like, yeah. Like, I was just like, of course, like, what are you asking me right now? You know, it felt really weird, but really good. And like, And I've never been so like excited for something in my life. And it's cool that it's done and it's here and people are looking at it. So, yeah.
Now, a number of people have suggested that the art, design, architecture piece of Coachella really took off when Instagram took off, and that there's been a kind of push by the art department to always have these big, bold pieces that look great on Instagram. Do you agree with that? And two, were you kind of given that mandate? Make sure it looks great on Instagram.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I do a lot of fashion stuff and a lot of two-dimensional stuff, I was really struggling like how to really design this thing. Because if you're using flat surfaces all the time, like how do I, you know what I mean? It's like, it seems easy in your head, but like for me, I was just like, okay, well, what can I do that's going to get really tall and noticeable and it photographs easily, because, you know, it, like people are walking around and stuff and like, I think it just makes festival goers kind of pull themselves out of reality.
Right. Yeah. It's almost like getting in the spinning teapots at Disneyland or something.
Absolutely. It's like Disneyland, but for millennials.
So to that point, so what we've heard from, I guess, from a couple of locals have told us that Coachella perhaps, you know, used to be a little bit more accessible a few years back to locals. Perhaps the ticket prices were a little bit lower and you could get day passes, and now you have to get the 3-day pass and the price has gone up. And do you feel that Coachella is kind of accessible to people locally who didn't necessarily grow up with much money?
I think it depends like what you're trying to do, because I know the festival hires a lot of locals, and I know the locals get to like hang out at the festival as well. I've been working the festival for a long time. I haven't really been worried. I'm like, well, it'll happen. You know what I mean? And then like even like locals out here, like if you don't have a ticket, you can buy one like from a friend. You know what I mean? Or like someone's always gonna have one. Like, and that's kind of the funny thing about like the locals. It's like, oh man, I don't have a ticket, but I'll figure it out. You know what I mean? Like a week before, I'll figure it out. And then you see them like on Friday. You're like, see, like it's going to happen, you know? Like it's just, you got to like envision it. and then you just show up. So that's the kind of like almost advantage of being a local. You're like, I'll figure out how to get to Coachella.
And lastly, who are you going to see during Coachella week?
Oh my God. Let's see. I want to see everybody. I got to see Krongbin last night. I missed Tara Wack, but I'm going to go see her next week. So that's who I really want to see. She's like the creative, like, rapper, like crafty, artsy, like weird, like I'm obsessed with her, and I've been looking for her because I made an outfit that's inspired by her, so I hope to like get her in it. It's like my goal.
That was Sofia Enriquez, artist, muralist, fashion designer, and creator of Mismo, her first installation at Coachella. I'm Frances Anderton. You're listening to DNA. Coming up after this break, we'll hear from the architect who drew inspiration from the ancient baobab tree to create shade in the desert. Back with DNA, I'm Frances Anderton, and we are talking about the art and architecture at Coachella, which has high ambitions, both in scale and quality. And you can find this in the work of Diabedo Francis Kere. Kere was born in Gando. It's a tiny village in the country of Burkina Faso in West Africa. And he wound up becoming an architect based in Berlin. Along the way, Francis Kere has garnered several prestigious commissions for installations, including the 2017 Summer Pavilion for the Serpentine Gallery in London and a permanent pavilion to open this summer at Tippett Rise Art Centre in Montana. But we met him at his installation at Coachella. Imagine a cluster of tall, tapering towers like upside-down ice cream cones. And they're made of coloured prefab triangular sections with slits for air. The structures are open at the bottom so you can go inside. And there you find people lounging and picnicking in the pools of shade at the base of each tower. This piece is called Sabale Ke, which means the place to celebrate.
The piece itself is inspired by a baobab tree.
And what is that?
So a baobab tree is one of the very monumental trees. Let's say natural designs, you know, in my place of birth in Burkina Faso, and then in many other places in Africa. If you can see it, it's dominating the nature and the landscape. And the baobab tree is like the place where people naturally will migrate to, you know.
Then
for shade and just to meet and then to celebrate, you know. And that, this is the reason why I was inspired by it, you know, to bring a little piece of baobab to Coachella this year. Of course, what we have done here is truly Africa. It's colorful, you know. I wanted to touch the people, the senses of the people. I wanted them, you know, to spiritually be touched by this composition, you know, which is ranging from a trunk of 6 to 24 meters high. And if you enter and you will look up and you see how it is, the branches are connecting, you see like the nice structure.
And definitely it's a place for shade. The village that you grew up in, Gando, I've read could reach temperatures of around 120 degrees Fahrenheit. Is that correct? So you know how to design for very hot places.
That is exact. That is exact. In my place, the average temperature can reach 120 degrees Fahrenheit. So it is really hot. And how to design for an environment like this. So I have developed an idea of creating very open, very well-ventilated structures so to allow, you know, a comfort for people, to create a comfort for people. And this was also part of the design here, which is meant, by the way, our baobab trunk is meant to have a life after Coachella. It will go and serve an underserved community around here, which is, so for myself, a higher added value to the design.
Tell us, Francis Kere, what took you from Gando, which was a village of, I think, 2,500 people, to Coachella, Southern California?
No, it's great. You know, life is so funny if you believe. If you get chances and you believe in design and then in the capacity to use the you know, the most available thing to create, then you will learn. You will learn in LA, yeah, in the greatest place for design. So, you know, I my father was a visionary. You know, as I was a child, he wanted me to leave the village and go and learn how to read and write. So
this was a village that didn't have a school, correct?
Yes, exactly. In this time, there was no school in the village, and the illiteracy rate was over 100. It's 100. No one could read and write. That was the reason why he wanted me to go and learn how to read and write. At that time, people was laughing about my father because they called him stupid. Why he's sending his son to the city far instead of letting him help in the field to feed the family? But he was a visionary because after I attend education, I am the reason why I have a school of more than 1,000 kids in my village.
Because you left the village, you went to the city, you
yes.
got an education, then you got a scholarship to Berlin, and then you studied architecture, and then you turned around and you went back to your village and you built a school. Is that right?
Exactly, exactly. This is what I've done. I had a duty for my community. You know, in my village, everyone is supporting each other, you know. So when I came to Germany, I got this chance and I wanted to give something more to my people. So I created a school.
So now you have an office in Berlin, but you have a workshop in Gando and you are constantly in touch with Gando. Is that right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I have a workshop where sometimes half of the village is part of the workshop. We're creating now a high school. I have a generous donor from the U.S. who is now supporting me to build a high school in a village where there was no school.
So yes, so the man who's the donor who's going to support the high school, is that the couple that own Tippett Rise, which is an arts center up in Montana, where you are building another installation?
Oh yes, exactly. Kathy and Peter Halstead are so great. You know, they just said, okay, Francis, we want you to design a pavilion for our community also in Montana. And then we will pay for it, and then we will support you to build the high school in your village. You know, it is exciting. Then they created a sort of link, you know, linking the U.S. to Africa, linking Montana, in Fishtail in Montana, to my village, Gando, in Burkina Faso. It is fantastic, you know. I have to say I'm lucky because I have become, an income generator for the village. Many, many young people are now working in the workshops that I have created, not just in Gando, but around Burkina Faso. Normally, they would have to move, you know, to go to Ghana, to go to the Ivory Coast, or even further, and to earn money and to feed the families. And many will never come back, you know. And now with this workshop, I have created something that no one has expected in a village.
And we should say that Burkina Faso is one of the poorer African countries. Is that correct?
Exactly. Correct.
I'm talking to you at Coachella. I have also seen a pavilion that you created for the Serpentine Gallery in London back in 2017, and your pavilion that you're creating for Tippett Rise. All three of them have something in common, which is the tree.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
The tree is something that really matters to you. Is that...
Oh, yes. If you come from a place where there are barely trees and where the average temperature can reach 120 degrees Fahrenheit, and you're looking for a shadow, in this place, a tree is a shelter, you know. And the funny thing with the tree is it's protecting you from the element without closing you up from the reality, you understand. It's an open space, it's a welcoming space. You know, it's a great place to stay. And that's why I use trees a lot of time as inspiration in my work.
Because the trunk serves as kind of a landmark, and the branches and the leaves bring shade. So it's a communal spot because it's about community. Is that right?
Exactly. The tree allows, in many, many reasons, communal life to happen. You know, it serves as a kindergarten. It can serve as a school because of the shadow. It can also serve to host a celebration. And that way I was inspired by the tree to create a place for gathering at Coachella. And at night, the trunks will serve as a beacon of light, you know. You will see them, and it's about celebration.
Is your father still alive?
No.
But did he get to see your accomplishments? Did he get to see where his decision led?
Oh, yes. I was lucky enough to travel to India with my father and to receive the Aga Khan Award in 2004, and which was a great honor. It is something is not easy to tell to American, you know, because you have everything. But if you imagine me boarding an aircraft with my father, who never left the village, and we take an aircraft, business class, from Ouagadougou to fly to Paris, and from Paris to Delhi, first class. You understand, you know this emotion. It was so great. And then we arrive in India, and of the day of the ceremony, my father dresses traditional clothes, and then the two of us, we was in every Indian newspaper at the front page. That is a gift, it really is a gift. And my father passed away really happy, really.
You've been listening to Francis Carey, architect. We met him at Coachella this past weekend. This is DNA, and I'm Francis Anderton. Now, one of the artists who has been watching Coachella's evolution with great interest is Philip K. Smith III. He was raised in the Coachella Valley, and he has seen it turn from a cultural backwater to a stop on the global art circuit. His own work was featured in the first Desert X in 2017 and twice at Coachella, with Reflection Field in 2014 and Portals in 2016.
I mean, ultimately, the power of Coachella is two things. I think one is to be able to implement a project at an impressive scale. And secondly, I don't know anywhere else in the world where you can have 250,000 people see your work over the course of 6 days.
And by impressive scale, do you mean kind of urban architectural scale?
Yeah. I mean, there's pieces out there this year that are 75 feet, almost 80 feet tall. It is a challenge to be able to build something of that scale for a lot of reasons. Is that you've got to build it beforehand. You also need to install all of it in 11 days, not 11.1 days, 11 days, because those doors open on Friday. But it's an amazing opportunity, right?
What role is Coachella playing in the sort of art, design, architecture community in the Coachella Valley?
First of all, it is bringing international artists, architects, and designers to this desert, which you might say is something that's happened architecturally from, you know, as early as the 40s and 50s. So in a way, there's kind of a tradition of people that have been working across the globe and choosing to create projects and buildings and design here in the desert. But I think that also there's, you know, opportunities for local artists like Sofia Enriquez, who, you know, again, is primarily a painter and now has these five, you know, massive sculptures out on the field that she's hand-painted. And those opportunities don't come along very often. So to be able to prove that you can do that begins to open up doors for the next opportunity and the next opportunity. And I can certainly say wholeheartedly that that has happened for me.
Lastly, every year one hears people say, oh, Coachella, it's just got more and more fancy. There's expensive restaurants. There's kids from private schools in LA going out there buying their branded Coachella outfits, you know, that it's gone corporate, it's gone branded. Do you feel that? And if not, tell those that do how they should understand Coachella.
I think that Coachella is what you make of it. That's the beautiful thing about it. I mean, I was out there for 5 or 6 hours yesterday, and I don't think I, for the first time, actually ever stopped in any of the tents to actually listen to music. I went around and looked at the art, I looked at the people, I ate food. I had a massive communal experience with 125,000 other people that I do not know, and I had a great time. And that is the excitement, that energy of being in a place like that that is about creativity and just about humanity gathering to have this kind of positive experience. For me, it's a place that I desire and am excited to go each year with my wife, Lisa. And more than ever, it is just, it's beautiful everywhere. It's a bit, I say it's a bit like Manhattan now. You know, there's the grit is gone. But that's okay, because, you know, the grit's great, but it's also nice to have some quality food and, you know, not to have some old, you know, dirty pizza, but to have, like, some really amazing food and some great drinks and, you know, a beautifully designed venue with amazing bands surrounded by other creative people. You make it what you want. You can choose to be annoyed by the reality of people have to pay for this thing, such as corporations, etc., or you can just go out and just be immersed in that, like, flora of creativity.
That was the artist Philip K. Smith. I'm Frances Anderton. You've been listening to DNA. Avishai Artsy produced and edited this program with a final mix by Ray Guana. Special thanks to Laura Kondaragian. And thank you very much for listening. We'll be back next week.